All righty. Well, I believe I'm safe in saying this. I'm not thinking of anyone else in specific but myself, but I believe I'm safe in saying that I'm not the only person in this room today, Todd, that on occasion has caused their family to want to leave the room during a Philadelphia Eagles game. Maria, would you affirm that? I don't know. In other words, I'm aware of the fact that, I'm joking, I feel safe joking with these guys, but that there are times in my past where the family didn't quite enjoy watching the game, you know, with me. You know, I've gotten a little bit better with it, and Greta usually now will, you know, climb up on the couch and normally getting ready for her Sunday afternoon nap or whatever, but kind of be next to me. And during the game, she's actually very uplifting to me as we're watching the Philadelphia Eagles game, because perhaps something will happen in the game and I'll say, that was holding on number 78. And shortly after that, you'll hear the referee say, holding number 78. And Greta will say, wow, honey, you could be a referee, right? And maybe shortly after that, the announcer will be saying, Blankenship got lost in coverage there and left the guy open. And I'll say, that wasn't Blankenship's, man. That was Bradbury that was supposed to be covering him. And the announcer will say, correction, it was actually Bradbury that was in coverage. And Greta will say, wow, honey, you could be an announcer, right? Building me up, you know, and while she's uplifting me and building me up, typically she's hearing me tear down the Philadelphia Eagles. Typically she's hearing me say things like, and I love the Eagles, you all know that, but you know, that Hurts, what are you doing? Devonta Smith was wide open, why didn't you throw the ball? Yeah, big play Slay, sure. That's the only play he's made all game, right? You know, or things like, I'm 62 years old and I can tackle better than most of these guys. That kind of stuff, right? Our special teams stink. And so if that's what Greta's hearing all the time coming out of me, right, my proclamations, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised last week when I told her casually that the Eagles had the best record in the National Football League, and her response was, what? How? How is that possible? I've been watching the game with you, and as I hear you complaining and you know, all this, what they're doing wrong, and they're not doing this right. How? What if I count all of your comments? It doesn't add up to a team that's 8-1 and in first place. And they don't play up to my standard, that's all, you know. Or I'm just, one of those fans who just, is upset with every single little thing that happens, right? You know, when her shock kind of was legitimate. Like, I'm counting up everything I've heard you say. She hasn't been paying attention to the standings like I do. So for her, how is it, I thought they've been losing all these games the way that you're responding to the television. You know, this is, I kind of consider this almost Thanksgiving Sunday, leading us into Thanksgiving week. I know next Sunday is the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend, but we're all stuffed and filled up by that point, and we're thinking about Christmas. So this is the Sunday that puts our mind forward to Thanksgiving. You know, count your many blessings. If people counted up what they're hearing from my life, not just for a couple hours watching an Eagles game, but if they're counting it up, what does it add up to? What would they say? If they're counting what they hear from my life, would they say, hey, this guy believes that God is fantastic. This guy believes that God is so good. This guy believes that God is so gracious. What does my counting, or counting the comments, not only that come out of my life, but are lived in my life, what would it add up to? What kind of song am I singing? Now, we're going to take another peek today at Nehemiah. If you've been here when I've been preaching, we haven't been looking through the script, Nehemiah. We took a peek at him, you know, in the beginning of the book, where seeing his soft heart and how he is willing to hear and care and take it to the Lord in prayer. Then we saw that they built the wall halfway and opposition came and they're under attack. And Nehemiah reminds us, remember the Lord, remember the sword, remember the cord. But now we're at a point where we're going to see that the walls have been built. And Nehemiah is going to gather them together. And to me, he's going to make clear what our song should be about. But it causes me to ask, what does my counting add up to? What am I singing about? Is it a song of grumbling? Would somebody say, I never knew that person believed God was so good. All I ever heard from them was what went wrong that day, right? It doesn't have to be a song. Does it add up to just a song about material blessings? We want to thank God for material blessings. I lay down every night, and I honestly, when my head hits the pillow, I pretty much 100% of the time, I thank God for the house, the roof, the bed, the pillow. All of it is a gift. But how about eternal things, if that's who we are? And so I wanted you to turn it up to Nehemiah chapter 12. It's in the Old Testament there, in your Bible, on your smart device. I'll be reading it. I want to ask the Lord to speak to us. Father God, I believe this is your word to us today. 25 centuries ago, this happened. But I believe what Jesus said, that these events were meant to point us closer to you through Jesus. I believe what the Apostle Paul said, that these events are meant for us to learn from. And so we ask you to take your word today and apply it to us. We who sit here today in November of 2023, Spirit of God, speak to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 12, we do read there in the beginning just a bunch of names, right? Now, these are the priests and the Levites who came up with Zerubbabel, and you can start going through the list. And, you know, a couple weeks ago I said it doesn't seem like a lot of people are naming their kids Roy right now or Stan. You wouldn't look at this child. What do we want to name our child? Shechaniah, Rehum, Meremoth, Ginnathoy. You know, nobody's reaching into Nehemiah 12 for their children's names, right? But it's a reminder of what? They're real people. These are real people like you and I. They walked this earth 25 centuries ago, and they really were being challenged by Nehemiah towards something. And what is that that he's challenging them toward? He's challenging them to come together and let's sing a song. Let's count what God is doing and praise him for it. For we read in verse 27, now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate with dedication, with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, and with songs to the accompaniment, cymbals, harps, these different musical instruments, right? So they gather them all to what? Sing! Sing a song. When I say that, I don't know if your mind goes where mine does, right? Because I love music from all different eras, but the music of my youth sticks with me. And I hear Karen Carpenter, right? Sing, sing a song. Sing out loud. Sing out strong, right? Sing. The problem with Karen Carpenter was what? What she was singing. What she was counting daily. What it added up to. In other words, if you look at Karen Carpenter, you may say, I don't know anything about her. That's fine. Tremendous voice. You know, her, Whitney Houston, there's a couple that just their voices were, in my opinion, so much better than some of the others, right? But in her life, all these top songs she had. But she wasn't counting that. You would think that she would be, wow. No, what was her mind constantly counting? She was counting how she felt every time she looked in the mirror. She didn't like the way she looked. If you know anything about her, she got thinner and thinner and thinner, and her friends tried to help her. They tried to reach out to her. And all that she was focusing on, the song that she was singing to herself, was what? You're unacceptable. You're no good. I don't like me. And eventually she died from anorexia, from her own abuse of her body. She never heard God singing, "Karen, I love you. There's eternal truth that I have for you." What are we singing? You know, in other words, like I said, we should be singing thanks to God about temporary material blessings. Because folks, if you're sitting in this church thinking, "I probably have less than anybody else here," remember, at least half of the world has less than what you have, right? So we should be thanking God for material blessings. But we're people that, if we have come to a faith in Christ, we're eternal. And we have to be looking at eternal things. So in other words, I ask myself, you ask yourself, do I get more excited? Do I celebrate more advancing at work and getting a raise than I would celebrate advancing in my own walk with Jesus? Because the raise is only temporary. The walk with Jesus is forever. Do I celebrate more a doctor removing a cancerous tumor from my body than I would celebrate God removing the guilt of sin from my soul? One's temporary, the other's eternal. Your child, scores 7 goals in the soccer game and leads the team to victory that day, and you go in their room and you want to celebrate with them that night, and they're praying beside their bed. Are you more excited that they scored 7 goals and won the game, or that they're praying beside their bed? Your adult child is in college and they've secured a great job for the future. Are you more excited about that than the fact that they're involved in church ministry and they're excited about their Bible studies? What's eternal that's on our minds? Because eternity is eternal. That's silly to say, but what I mean is the things that are going to last. And so Nehemiah calls us to consider that. If we're counting up what you're counting, what you're focused on, what's it adding up to? A life that only celebrates the temporary and material, or a life that is celebrating the eternal, right? Nehemiah calls us first and foremost, let your song be based on what God has done, on what God is doing, on what God has lifted up. What does he say in Nehemiah 12 and verse 43? And on that day, they offered great sacrifices. They rejoiced because God had given them great joy. See that? God gave them great joy. Even the women and children rejoiced so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. God had given them this joy. Nehemiah says, that's what we want to sing about. Nehemiah's not saying, look, let's get together. I wrote these songs about how strong this wall is. This wall is so strong. I wrote this song about all that we did together. No, it's all about what God is doing. Because what God is doing, I know I'm repeating, is eternal. It's going to last. So it's what I should be most excited about. Now, he's working eternal things in my daily life, so I care about daily living. But when it's forever, that's when we realize, like what the psalmist says, right? In Psalm 126, verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Wow. That verse is really the basis of how Mary responds in Luke chapter 1. We're going to be celebrating the exuberance of the Christmas story. But in Luke chapter 1, when Gabriel comes to Mary, how does she respond in verse 49 after she hears what God is doing? for the mighty one has done great things for me. She quotes Psalm 126. Holy is his name. Look what God is doing, she says. She's celebrating what God has, wow, this is amazing what God is doing. What is God doing? He's bringing her Savior. Verse 47, verse 46, Mary said, my soul exalts in the Lord, Luke 1, verse 47, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Listen, if you're ever sharing with an individual, you know, and perhaps they say to you, what, you people, are, don't you guys don't believe in Mary? And we say, of course we believe. What do you mean we don't believe in Mary? The angel said to Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Oh, what a privilege the Lord has put upon you. But what is Mary's response? I know, because I know that I need a Savior. I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And what an incredible privilege God is giving me that I get to give birth to the one who's going to be my Savior. It's right there. When she sings about God, my Savior, that's what she's excited about. Look what God is doing. This is eternal. The Apostle Paul points us to truths that never change. You know, in other words, every Thanksgiving, I can stand up and say the same thing. You know, throughout my life, I can think about different phases and times. Oh, thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you for this child. Thank you for that. But every Thanksgiving, I can say Romans 5:8, thank you, God, that God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, it stays on my heart. What has God done? I say, what has God done for you today? Sometimes when we think today, we think, okay, it has to be something, let's see, I've only been awake for a few hours. And, you know what he's done for me today? He demonstrated his love to me that he put my sin on his son on the cross every day. I'm not saying it like I'm silly, but I am conscious of the fact that I deserve to be in hell forever. I do. I deserve to be in hell forever, crying out for help and there being none. Forever. And God said, I'm going to take Vince's sin and put them on my son. And through faith in my son, I'm going to take Vince and I'm going to give him eternal life in heaven. There's not a sad day ahead for me in eternity. Not one. I mean, when you think about what he has done, and wow, it's why Jesus reminds us, don't let that get old to you. In Luke chapter 10, when Jesus is talking to the 70, he gives them the power to go out, and they do some amazing things. Wow, demon, get out of here. Wow, do you see that? Hey, stand up and walk. Whoa, wow, that is incredible. And they come back, Jesus, you wouldn't believe this. Luke 10, 17, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. We're doing this and that. Oh, you should have seen what Vince did. He double demons. He called two of them out. And Jesus says, yeah, these are exciting things because I gave you the power to do these things. But what does he say there in verse 20? Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Hey, you know, I want to do something exciting for Jesus. Hey, do you know your name is written in the book of life? Yeah, I know that, but what? It's still there. My name is still in the book of life, and it's going to stay there. Whoa! Right? It's incredible when you stop to think, I was dead in my trespasses and sin, but God, who's rich in mercy by grace, he's raised me up and given me eternal life. See, can you sing that song? Can you sing that? Can you sing what God has done? See, because if you live this life and you die and your name is on 10 different titles for vehicles and 11 different deeds, so they're meaningless. But have you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Maybe you're watching online. Have you entered into eternal life? Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Right? Jesus says, whoever hears my words and believes in my Father who sent me has eternal life. Eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but has eternal life, everlasting life. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus, dear friend, not for me, for you. Oh, dear friend, let God take you from hell, put you in his eternal kingdom, right? All right, you just turn to him. Lord, I confess my sin. I put all my faith in you, Lord Jesus Christ, as my only Savior. When you do, right, it becomes so real. That's the second thing that Nehemiah wants. He says, I don't want it to just be, you know, some religious activity. I want that to be real. The things that you're counting, the song that you're singing, let it come from deep within. What does he say there in Nehemiah chapter 12? If you look at verse 30, right? Nehemiah 12 and verse 30, we read, the priests and the Levites purified themselves. See, it's not just about the outward. It's the inward. They also purified the people. Verse 45, for they performed the worship of their God in the service of purification. Let it come from deep within. Passage in Luke chapter 24 where two of the disciples, they're walking with the resurrected Jesus, but they don't know it. And he's talking to them, and then all of a sudden they realize it's the risen Lord, and he disappears. And what do they say? Man, did you? Our hearts were burning. Oh my goodness, that burning deep inside. See, when it's real to you, and I know many of you know what I'm talking about, that you can sit there alone with God and just have a sense, Lord, oh, it is so real to me, stirring inside. You're not going to feel as close to God every day as you did the day before. We're human beings. You know what I mean? You don't sleep. You're not eating right. You got a head cold. I don't know. I just feel like I'm not close to God. Well, it's because you're sick, right? We're human beings, is my point. But to know that it's real. The great passage that stands out to me about that is in Luke chapter 7. Because Nehemiah says, I want to see that it's coming from within. And Jesus shares a parable when he's at a meal in Luke 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. There was a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, kissing his feet, anointing them with the perfume. This woman has heard the message of Jesus before. She knows she's a sinner. She knows how everybody looks at her. But she also has heard the incredible message of Jesus, who has said time and time again, I didn't come for people who don't think they're sinners. I came for people who know they're sinners. I came for people who need a great physician. And it has melted her heart. And here she comes now, and she falls at Jesus' feet. Why? Because that's all what's going on inside of her. She's not looking around going, okay, how is this going to look? Because she's way past that. Inside, it's all I want to do is love Jesus. And she goes and she falls at his feet. She's crying on his feet. She's wiping them. She's wiping her hair on his feet. And of course, the Pharisees looking and saying what? Verse 39, if this Jesus were really a prophet, he'd know this what kind of woman this was. She's a sinner. She shouldn't be touching him. Jesus says, Simon, I have something to say to you. Pharisee says, say it. He says, a moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said, Yes, correct. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "You see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he was forgiven little, loves little." Jesus isn't saying, because she laid at my feet and cried, I'm going to save her. I don't believe that at all. I think Jesus is saying with the parable, do you know why she's laying here? Because she has so much love for me. It's so real inside of her. It's pouring out. She has been forgiven so much that she's laying here just showing her love. And you? You're acting as if you did me a favor by inviting you for the meal. I went to church. Oh no, I went, and I'll be there on Christmas too. And we're not doing God a favor. But when it's real to you, you say, "Man, I get to go worship. I get to go gather with other believers. I get to go sing praises to God." And it's real, and it pours out from within her. Jesus says, "Simon, I can tell what you're counting, and I'll tell you what she's counting. You can see it right here. It's pouring out of her." We were driving yesterday, driving with my granddaughter, Molly, in the back seat of the car, right? And Greta and I driving her back from Johnson's Farm, and she's just in the back seat. "God, we love you, and you love us, and every day we think of you, and you think of us, and we're happy." You know, and she's just, and Greta and I are just looking at each other going, "This is great. Boy, I hope this never dies in her," right? This child spirit that from within is just, who cares if I just change key 7 times, right? It's just beautiful, right? That is coming from her heart. I want you to know what I know you do know. I don't live out my sermons perfectly. I don't. I know more often than you do that times that I'm going, I just preached on that. Lord, I can't believe. But I promise you this. I promise you, it's real to me. I'm telling you, I believe as much as I'm standing here that Jesus Christ is here right now. I believe as much as I have physical life right now, I believe that I have eternal life in heaven with Jesus. It's real. And when eternal things are real, praise God for material temporary blessings. Praise God. Every gift is from Him. But keep your eyes on the eternal. When that's real, we know what we're singing about. It's coming from inside. Well, it leads to a third thing, and that's simply this. Let your song be loud. Let people hear it. Nehemiah says in verse 27 of Nehemiah 12, right? Hey, we're going to get the singers and the band together, and we're going to sing a song. And then he splits the choir in two. Verse 31, I had the leaders of Judah come up on the top of the wall. I appointed two great choirs, the first one proceeding to the right on top of the wall. So if you picture them almost at 9 o'clock, and the first choir goes, you know, to the right going down. And then we get to verse 38, the second choir proceeded to the left, going up and around. And I followed them with half the people on the wall above the tower of the furnaces to the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim by the old gate, by the fish gate, the tower of Hananel and the tower of the 100, as far as the sheep gate. And they stopped at the gate of the guard, right? The two choirs took their stand in the house of God. I remember years ago when we were in chorale with PCB, you at the end of the service, all of us in the chorale, we would split. You go right, you go left. And when the person got to the back door, they stopped, and we had the whole church surrounded, and we would just sing a song surrounding the church. And that's what Nehemiah, I want to surround the walls. I want to have us singing. Why? Because it has to come out of us. Some of you saw maybe a year ago. I don't know how long ago it was. I, in my mornings, we have a little breakfast bar, and Greta's up and out of the house before me as a preschool teacher, and I am usually having my computer open. I'm listening to some Christian music and just eating my Belveeta blueberry biscuits, you know, because, you know, they tell me they're good for me, you know, and that's my morning routine, right? And boy, I'm listening at the time to this song by Mercy Me, Grace Got You. And if you ever heard the song, it says, "Have you ever met those who keep humming when the song's through?" And the chorus, he says, "The moment you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of time," he says, "what? Until you sing so that the back row hears you glide. Because walking just won't do, dance. You don't have to know how to. Ever since grace got you, laugh until your whole side's hurt and smile," right? Sing, glide, dance, laugh, smile. Why? We're the eternal people of God. It's got to come out. It can't be something that we don't get excited about and just, you know, I am not thinking, I promise, of any of you here, but I know in my journey I have met some Christians before who seem like they have nothing to be thankful for. Well, you know, I don't know why God did this. I don't know why God did that. Everybody else but me, I don't know why. I was in hell forever. When that's real to you inside, I was in hell forever. And he plucked me out of there. And he has given me eternal life. Listen, besides everything else, that's enough for me to sing about every day. Every day. But it's not only that. It's that he has a plan for my life. It's that he has a purpose. It's that he is never going to leave me. It's that he's always walking with me. It's that, I mean, blessing upon blessing upon blessing. See, if you count up what you're hearing from my life, what are you hearing? If I count up what people are hearing from your life, what are they hearing? Listen, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to go home today and say, "You never fix the tire like I asked you to." There's real life practical things. I say that because I promised my wife I would fill up her tire there. So that's on me, right? You know, but there's practical. You're allowed to say, "Oh, how do I go home and tell about that my leg hurts?" You know, after that, we're real people. But are your eyes on the eternal? Are your eyes on the eternal? Are your eyes saying, "Lord, don't let me forget what you've done for me"? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of scripture that points us to look at our own hearts. Nehemiah is saying, listen, we have to be people who count what God is doing, who rejoice in it internally, and it just has to burst out from us. People have to be hearing that there is something different about these Christians. There's a joy they have. There's a peace they have. There's something that's not rooted in temporary earthly things. They've got something eternal. Lord, don't let us forget it. Don't let us forget it. Let us sing about it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.